we're going to read in Luke 18, starting verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint, saying, there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubled me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Okay, now it said that men ought to always pray and not to faint. There's an area where many people give up in praying because maybe they don't get their answer right away. But one thing we ought to do is always pray, regardless of what. Amen. Don't wait till trouble strikes us and then we begin to pray. Our prayer life should be right up on up aboard, so that when things come our way, we will be able to face them without too much difficulties, because we've been prayed up. And trouble is, many people don't have a real solid prayer life. They don't have a persistent prayer life. They pray a hit and a miss. And therefore, when trouble strikes, then it's hard for them. You know, they want to wait till then to really begin to pray. But if we pray, then we'll be all set for whatever comes our way. I'm sure many times things will come and almost throw us off board. But nevertheless, because we pray, we have the power to resist the adversary. We have the power to be able to stand and face whatever we have to face. And we should ought to start our day off with prayer. Amen. And not try to put a lot of things ahead of prayer. We should ought to be able to, you know, make that a priority in our life, so that, you know, we start the day. There's a little poem, you know, prayer makes the difference. And certainly prayer does make the difference. If we would really pray and seek God before we go into the toil of the day, we find that things will go a lot better for us. And sometimes when we fail to pray, we find things just don't go as good as they should when we're not praying. So we see here that the scripture tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he tells us to pray without ceasing. So does that mean I got to pray all day and all night too? Well, you can pray anytime you want to. You can be praying while you're doing your laundry. You can be praying while you're doing your ironing. You can be praying while you're scrubbing the floors. You can pray. You know, people kind of think that, well, we just got to stop everything and we got to draw apart and go into a place all alone with the Lord. Fine, that's a good place to be. But if you want to pray all day, I'm sure you can't stay in a room all day praying if you have a family. I mean, if you have an understanding that, hey, I'm fasting, I'm praying, I'm giving myself to God, I'm going to shut myself in, that's a different story. But day after day, you just can't go in a room and shut yourself in. I mean, month after month, year after year, if you got a family, you can't do that. But, however, you can have a prayerful heart, right? Praying from inside. You remember Hannah, when she was so bitter in her soul, right? Because she wanted a child, and she had asked the Lord for one. But you know, she went through a lot of trouble and persecution as a result of, because her husband had two wives, and she was one. And the other one was having children to the husband. So, therefore, that woman was provoking her. Day after day, the devil would use that woman to provoke her, you know. And so, she wanted this a man-child that she could give back unto the Lord. And she had gone down to Shiloh, and old Eli the priest was there. And And she was just, you know, her mouth was moving, and he thought that she was a woman that was drunken on wine. And we find that it wasn't so. She was really seeking God for this child. And she told the Lord, she said, if you give me a man child, she says, I'll give him back to you all the days of his life. And truly, that's what Hannah did when he was old enough to be probably potty trained, old enough to, you know, so that he could. He went to the temple, and there he stayed in the temple. And you know what his name was, Samuel. And he turned out to be a prophet, a priest, and a king, a prophet, priest, and a judge. And so we know that, you know, God hears our prayers, what we're seeing within ourselves. Her mouth was moving, but there was nothing that anybody could hear. I mean, only God. And that God says he hears our faintest cry, the very faintest cry. We can cry out from within us. We can call on God. And we can be right around people, and people don't even know that we're praying and we're calling out unto God. Now, prayer is to call upon the Lord and to hold communion with God, to request, you know, ask something from God. And it's not just going into prayer and just praying and asking God for something, but I believe praise and prayer goes together. And I believe from the depths of my soul that a person should really come to the throne of grace thanking the Lord and praising the Lord for what He has done for them. And I believe, you know, you just don't say, well, just praise the Lord and go right in and ask God for the request, the things that you want. But I know I like to take time to thank the Lord for many things and praise the Lord for many things before I really get into asking Him to do thus and thus or to move in a certain way. It's always good to come and really praise the Lord in your prayer life. And we want to see something here from the Word of God. And we want to turn to chapter 16 of the book of Acts. And here we see a story where Paul was in Macedonia there. And we find out that, you know, he came there and he was wanting to, you know, to make prayer on the seventh day. So he went out alongside of the riverside and there were some women out there, but he went out there for the purpose of really praying. And he met this woman who was called Lydia, and she was a seller of purple, and she worshiped God. She had a heart that was, you know, open to the Lord and so forth and so on. And then we see in verse 16, and it said, it came to pass as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, Menas, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, a fortune teller, you know. And so many people want to know what's down the road in the future. Well, you don't run to witches and wizards and people who divine, you know, lies, who Satan uses you know, in this way to tell fortunes. And some people, they want their palms read, or they want tea leaves read, and they want cards read, and so they just go on down the line, and they're all interested in horoscopes and that type of situation. Well, this damsel here, you know, her masters made a lot off of her. And so, therefore, she was following Paul and Silas. And, you know, just like I say, when you go to church, the devil comes along and he tries to distract. Well, that's what the devil was trying to do through this woman here, to distract. Because truly, they were men of the Most High God. And she had followed them and as they were ministering, you know. And finally, Paul turned around and Paul was grieved and in his spirit, and he turned her and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Notice the authority that Paul had when he said, commanded that spirit to come out of her. and it came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace with the rulers. And they brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our way, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, needs to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And notice now, what a shame that would be to have to be stripped of your clothes and beaten before a multitude of people or a group of people, you know. But this is something that happened because he had commanded that spirit to go out of that damsel that had been following them for days. And you see, these men who was making money off of her was stirring up trouble because of this very thing. And so Paul and Silas took a beating there in the marketplace. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now he thought he had them really safely secured in the prison, because if they had gotten loosed and got away, then that meant the jailer would lose his life, right? They would have killed him. So now, you know, notice, I don't know if you ever have read where they used to take the make up a cord of, you know, sometimes they put pieces of glass in them, and sometimes other sharp objects, stones, and they made a scourge, and they would really lash them, I think 39 times, and that's a lot to be really beaten. But they laid many stripes upon his back. Remember, Paul said he bare in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Do you remember reading that in the scripture? Other words, he had marks on his body from where he had been beaten, 39 lashes. And we see here that after receiving the charge, he made sure that they were secure. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Now, they just didn't pray, but they also sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Notice, praise, prayer, and praise. I like to praise and then prayer. And I think it's the appropriate thing to do is come before God and telling Him how much you love Him, how much you appreciate Him, and thank Him for the way that He cares for you, how He protects over you. Thank Him for all these things and how He provides daily your food, your shelter, and all these things. He's worthy to be praised. And I like to praise Him for good health. Amen. I like to praise Him and thank Him for those things. And one thing I like to praise God for is His protection, how He looks over us every moment of the day, how He looks over us and takes care of us even through the night hours. We have a lot to really thank God for and to praise God for. First, I like to thank Him for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I like to thank Him for His sufferings. Amen. He suffered, He bled, and He died, shed His blood for my sins and for the sins of the world. So I like to thank Him for those type of things first, because I believe He's worthy to have that praise. And people like to be praised, and they like to be showered with praise, but they don't realize that the Lord likes to be praised. He inhabits the praises of His people. He enjoys hearing us praise Him. And so we see here then, they prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, prayer can open prison doors. And here's a case where prayer and praise opened the prison doors. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken. You remember when I think it was Peter and John, when they were threatened in the book of Acts there about how they should not teach or mention the name of Jesus to any man, and they threatened them, you remember that, and let them go. And then, you know, they went back to their company and they really prayed. And where they were praying, they were asking God to grant boldness. You know, after you've been threatened by leaders and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, right? Not to mention that name at all to any man, that you'd have to go back and really pray and seek God for great boldness to be able to go out there and face the angry mob. Well, that's just exactly what they did. They went back and they prayed. And when they did, it said the place where they were at was shaken. So prayer will cause a shaking. And we can really pray, and God can really shake the place that we're in, or He can just shake us and do a work in us. Amen. And He could cause us to get rid of anything that was really in us that was hindering us from really serving God in the right manner that we should serve God in. If we have problems within us, sinful things that goes on in our life day after day, and if we really go in prayer and seek God, He can shake us so that God can deal with us, so that we'll really let go of that thing and God can deliver us. And when we get delivered, sometimes people will just shake and shake and shake because of the power of God in operation. Prayer will shake a place, and it will shake up men and women and boys and girls. It will open prison doors. And we see it right here in this passage of Scripture. And the prison was shaken, and immediately the doors were open. Would you like to have a prayer life like that? That you have such power with God, amen, that you call out to God, and God moved in such a way as He did here for Paul and Silas. I think we're falling short. Our prayer life should be very powerful. All of us. All of us. Not one exempt. Amen. We need that power, and we're going to need that power to face the angry mob in this day and this hour. We're going to need this power to set men and women free from demon possession. We're going to need this power to heal the sick. We're going to need this power to see miracles take place at our hands. We're going to need this power. This power is not coming because we talk about it. We say we want it. It's not going to come just by talk. Unless we talk to God and get a hold of God, that's the only talk that will make the difference. We're going to need that power in this last day to be able to even stand in this wicked world. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loose. Imagine that, all the prisoners. Wow. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, if you were in prison, wouldn't you like to have a Paul come along, amen, and be able to pray and praise God and have a great miracle take place as this, and your bands would be unloosed and you'd be free in the jail. You wouldn't be all bound up. Your little cell that you was in, the old door flings right open. Oh. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he threw out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Look at the God used this thing. You know, it says, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that are called of God according to her purpose, right? Everything's going to work together for good. And truly, this here persecution that came to Paul and Silas gave the jailer an opportunity to see that he needed to be saved. And there was a soul right there, saved right there, fell down at the feet of Paul. Of evangelists who in the early 1920s and 30s, 40s, along in there, a great evangelist who had the power of God working in him. He was a man of prayer, and people would just get saved. He'd hold meetings, and 500 maybe at one time really would get saved. Wherever he went, if he traveled a train, if he went on a ship, or no matter which way he went, there was people that would get saved. He had such power with God. Saw many great miracles take place, healings that took place in his ministry. Wouldn't it be nice, no matter where you went, the power of God would be so strong in your life that even just walking by someone, someone would be saved or somebody could be healed. You know, Peter had great power with God. And you remember they brought the sick out on the street. And they hoped in just the shadow of Peter passing by that they would be healed. Just think that having such power with God, you're not going to get it without prayer and a seeking. Amen. And I believe power comes through seeking God. And this power comes, amen, that no matter where you go, that power would be felt and people would be saved and people would be healed and delivered and set free. I believe we're going to have it this last day and hour. I believe we're going to have it and trust that we all get busy and begin to pray about it because God wants to use us all, not just the ministers of the gospel, but He wants to use us all. And you can be used as you give yourself over to God and begin to pray and seek God till the power really fills your life. Amen, that you might see great things take place. Now, Paul, he went through some persecution, but, you know, hey, that's part of our Christian heritage. Amen. We're going to have persecution. They persecuted the prophets. So what makes us any better than the prophets? They persecuted Jesus, did they not? And so what makes you think we're better than the Master? We're going to suffer some persecution. Well, certainly Paul and Silas said, gone through some persecution, but what they went through here, you notice they weren't murmuring, complaining. There's nothing here that states that they murmured, complained. There's nothing that states that they said, well, we better hang it up now. We better not go out there no more. And then once we get out of this place, we better flee this place. We better shut our mouth. And we better not mention about Jesus anymore. We better not cast out any devils. We better not, heal the sick. We better not. No. There's nothing that is said about there. And he called for that light. And, oh, what a beautiful experience here for Paul and Silas. Even though their backs were really ripped open from the beating that they had taken because of commanding that spirit to go out of that damsel who was a fortune teller. And so we see here, he fell down at the feet, fall and sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. What a beautiful promise. I mean, not only this jailer is going to be saved, if he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gets saved, his family's going to get saved, because that was the promise to him. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Notice, a household conversion. The whole family converted to Christ. Isn't that wonderful? I wonder if Paul and Silas would have done what I said there, speaking about, murmuring, complaining. I don't believe this thing could have ever come to pass. I mean, with murmuring, complaining, and saying I'm going to give up, just as soon as we get a little persecution or God begins to deal with us and make us to know that, hey, you're not doing right, then we want to say it within ourselves, well, let's just hang it up. I'm going to hang it up. I just don't feel like I want to press on to anymore. It's too hard. And right away you want to throw up your arms and surrender. When you're in a wartime and when the battle's raging and it seems like the one side is seems really advancing and taking over. There's men that'll just actually throw up their hands and arms. And when they throw up their hands like this, that means, I surrender. If you're going to throw up your hands and surrender, just throw them up to Jesus and say, Lord, I surrender all. Not surrendering to the devil, but surrendering to God. And as a result of this now, the whole household was saved. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 12. Now here we see in this passage of Scripture, we saw where, prayer and praise, they go together, and how it opened up the prison doors and how a whole household was saved as a result of it. Now, we also are going to see in Acts 12 here where, a church got involved. The children of God got involved here. And it says, now about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Notice, now do you do things to please men? Are you a man pleaser? Scripture tells us not to be a man pleaser. We don't go around pleasing men. Okay? You know, you can't preach to please men. You got to preach the Word of God, and you got to preach it like it is, even if it hurts somebody. But you know that hurt does them good. It really wakes them up to make them to realize, hey, I'm not really as spiritual as I really think I am. Or I wouldn't be getting hurt at the preaching of the Word of God, you see. It really opens up and lets us see ourselves like we really are. You know, it's like a mirror. And we look in the mirror, we see ourselves like we are. And sometimes the things we see, we don't like. We see these wrinkles and we see the gray hair and we see we're getting very old looking. Sometimes saggy jowls, you know, and so forth and so on. And we don't like what we see. And sometimes that's the way it is with the Word of God. Sometimes the Word of God comes out and it shows us what we really like and we don't like it. We don't like it. But if we want to really go on to serve God, we better like all of God's Word, and we better, you know, obey all of His Word, and we better live by the Word of God and walk with the Word of God in us, right? And so we see here that they killed James here. And so they, because it pleased, you know, the Jews that he had killed James. Now he was going to apprehend Peter, and he was going to hold him to after the Passover, and then he was going to kill him. And we'll see what happened here. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, let's never do anything to please men, right? Not when it comes to, the things of God. You know, make sure that you're really speaking and doing what God tells you to do. And, okay, now it says in pleased the Jews. He proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quartorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Notice the church rallied around. They gathered in a home. I think it was a Mary. And they began to really pray. And they prayed without ceasing. They didn't let up. There was prayer that was being made for Peter, because they realized Peter was going to be killed also. James had already been killed with the sword. So they knew that persecution was coming against the church. And so here we see here that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God, or unto God for him. It's good for church together when somebody is in trouble and not think about eating, but really thinking about the person that's in real dire trouble. Gathering together and praying and seeking God until they really see the answer come. Now, some people can pray, you know, and others can come in, take their place, and begin to pray, but so that there's prayer going up from the church without ceasing. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. I mean, he was secure, safe right there with the quartorian of soldiers and so forth. They were there in the by the door, and they were bound, two of them were bound with him with chains. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off from his hands. How did God ever pull off this? When a bright light really shone right in that prison, and he smote Peter, and these chains fallen off of Peter, you thought they would have heard it. You know, the soldiers that was right there. I mean, they were hooked on with him. That's a miracle, isn't it? To really have something like that really happen. Oh, some people would say, if they were in that state, they'd say, oh, there's absolutely no use you praying. You know, I'll just have to stay here and I'll have to be bound between these soldiers. You know, it's impossible. I'm bound with them. I could never get loose from them. But brother and sister, you know, God has His ways of doing things. And you see how He sent that angel there and smote Peter and told him even to speak to him and tell him to arise and have those chains fall off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. Boy, when we get ready to say even to get out of bed and our feet makes a lot of noise and we make a lot of noise getting ourselves girded together and putting on our clothes and so forth. Just imagine you and Peter, he couldn't have had a very heavy foot. If he did, then God worked a miracle there too so that he could get out of that place with the angel without making any noise scuffing. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. I mean, you know, you're waking out of a sleep and, you know, he thought he was in a vision. He didn't realize this all taking place. You know, sometimes visions can be real, and just like in real life. And you really think that you're really doing these things, right? You're actually doing what you see in the vision and in natural life. But here we see it wasn't a vision. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, forthwith the angel departed from them. So you see what prayer did? Amen. It opened the prison gate, this great big iron gate. Prayer caused the angel to come. And, you know, and caused the chains to fall off of Peter and instruct him to what to do and to follow him and to open the iron gate. The gate just opened on its own accord. Now, you know, heavy iron gates do not open on their own accord. That was a miracle from God. Prayer will open prison doors. And many people are in a prison. Not the natural prison. There's a lot of prisoners that are in a natural prison. But many people are bound by the adversary. And they're in prison by the adversary. And they need the power of God to set them free. They cannot help themselves. They're bound. They try, but to no success. They fall back into the sin. They need the power of God to set them free. Someone who has the power from God to set them free. Don't you think we need to pray more? Don't you think we need to really seek God for this power so that we can bring men and women out of their bondages, their prison that they're in? I do believe we do. Where many were gathered together praying. Notice, they were still praying. Even though God sent His angel to deliver and opened the prison gate and let Peter out. Peter comes to the door. Peter knocks on the gate, door of the gate, and a damsel comes and to hearken, and her name was Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She was happy when she knew it was Peter, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." Here they were praying and can't believe that God had answered that prayer. We want to believe that God will answer prayer, don't we? But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is an angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. So you can see what prayer can do. It's wonderful to be able to know that we can get that power from God through prayer. Now, one thing we noticed there. Now, that was united prayer. That was people all in one accord, in one place, all praying for Peter. You notice that? They weren't praying for Sally or Joanna, or they weren't praying for, some other man, Barnabas or somebody else. They were praying for Peter. Peter was the one that needed prayer. Peter was the one that needed that deliverance, and he certainly got that deliverance. But you notice it was united prayer. There was a group of people praying. Now the scripture says in Matthew 18:19, "Again I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Notice, even two people praying and agreeing together on something, he said, it will be done by the Father. Okay? So you see, we can pray together about something, and God can move. And we thank God for that. Well, we're going to close there for now, but I trust that you found something in the scriptures tonight that could help you, even in your prayer life. We want to be consistent with our prayer life. We want to get in there and really seek God for help if we need help, to be free from, these fleshly things that war against our flesh. Amen. These are fleshly things that wars against our spirit, and tries to take us away from God. But let us really pray. God will give us that power in this last day and hour. Get us in that place where we can be a vessel fit for the Master's use, where we will be able to see great power. And even just walking out on the street, people would have to really kneel down and get saved. People get healed and so forth and so on. All right? At your presence, people will really fall down and get saved.